Now, listen, you can tell when Christmas is coming because Strictly starts on the TV this Saturday and there's a new iPhone. Fevzi Turkat, the gadget detective, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Hiya, Fevzi. Hi. This is the iPhone 13. What I thought they... It's as regular as clockwork now. It's as regular as series of Strictly. Obviously, they found a business model that works well for them as Apple. Is that good for us as customers?
Well, it depends if you're in the market for an iPhone. So they launched an iPhone or a range of iPhones, the iPhone 13 series, new Apple Watch Series 7, new iPad Mini, new standard entry-level iPad called the iPad 9, and there'll be new software coming around the five days from now as well. You're right what Apple have done. They've hit upon a formula, which is incremental updates. So every year they say, this is the best iPhone ever. Well, it had better be better than the previous year's model. Otherwise, why release one? But the improvements, whilst they're real, are incremental. So most people wouldn't, want, if you've bought an iPhone in the last few years, even used to be like the last couple of years. But I would say, even if you've got a five-year-old iPhone, if it's working well for you, there's no need to upgrade it. If you get into sort of 6 and 7 years, then you start to hit the problem of Apple not allowing you to put the latest operating system software on it, which means it could become insecure. Yeah. But I would say for most people, just wait until your machine is either broken, stolen, or just made redundant by Apple.
I think in day-to-day use, if you had a new 12 last year and you got a new 13 this year, you probably wouldn't notice the difference. So why go to all the effort? It would be much more ecologically sound, wouldn't it, to launch the 12 last year, make two lots of incremental improvements during the course of the next 2 years, then release the 13 this time next year. Why don't they do that?
Well, it's just a question of naming, because you're right. In the past, when there were small upgrades from 1 year to the next, it would become the S model. So these models could have been known as the 12S, and probably, more if they were being consistent, these would be the 12S, because they are improved, but they're not, game-changing improvements, in my opinion. But they've called them the 13 because it sounds like a bigger step forward, doesn't it?
Okay.
Interestingly enough, for example, when we went from iPhone 8, the next model was not the iPhone 9, it was the iPhone 10.
X, wasn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
So what have they said is different between last year's iPhone 12s and this year's iPhone 13s?
So the screens are better. They're a little bit brighter. They have faster updates. They call it ProMotion. So the refresh rate, the rate at which the screen redraws itself, is dynamic. It goes from very slow up to 120 times a second, which means you can have great fluidity. It means when you watch, it's not the sort
they
of
haven't
thing
they haven't taken into account how much my eyesight has deteriorated in the last year, so their improvements coincide with my eyesight getting worse.
Well, I tell you what, that's interesting, because early in the days of iPads, I loved the iPad Mini because I could hold it in one hand and it was like a paperback book. And then I bought an iPad Mini more recently when I guess my eyesight maybe isn't quite as good as it was. And I'd hardly ever use it. And now I prefer to use the large screen iPad. So I think you're absolutely right. So improvements. The screen is improved. It is brighter and more fluid in motion. The storage can now go up to 1 terabyte, which is 1,000 gigabytes essentially. Bear in mind, with iPhones, you can't upgrade the storage, unlike a lot of Android phones where you can pop a memory card in. When the memory on an iPhone is full, it's like having a car that when the ashtrays fill up rather than empty them, you have to buy a new car. It's kind of a bit like that. Other than that, probably one significant improvement is that the battery life is improved. Depending on which particular model of iPhone 13 you buy, you can get up to an extra 2.5 hours, which I think is worthwhile, particularly when you consider that as that battery gets older with recharges, its life shortens. So, for example, my iPhone only gets to about 80% of the capacity that it used to when it was new, which means I get 80% of the life out of it before it has to be recharged. So I often have to recharge it, before the day ends, as it were. The notch is smaller. There's this sort of notch where all the cameras live. So there's a cutout in the screen. So instead of the screen being vaguely rectangular, it's vaguely rectangular with a small rectangular notch cut out of the out of one side, and that's where the cameras and the detectors. That's about 20% smaller.
Because that can be annoying on some apps, can't it? That little notch.
Yeah, I find it annoying on general principle, but yeah, I think
you're very fussy.
I mean, you can get used to anything. You can get used to a crack on your screen, right? But but that doesn't necessarily make it desirable.
No.
We trade. I mean, other companies have managed to do a punch hole where, you know, there's a circular hole missing from the thing, which is a lot, in my view, a lot less intrusive than a notch. And I predict that maybe by next year they may be able to do away with the notch and replace it by a punch hole as well. The real trick will be this. If you want to have a real worthwhile improvement, it will be this. Find a way of putting the camera under the screen, because the big problem is, you know, when we were doing FaceTime and Zoom and all the rest of it, you're looking at the camera. Sorry, you're looking at the center of the screen, which is, you know, the other person. So you're not looking directly at the camera. And you always have this thing, this sort of parallax error where you're not looking into the camera.
We all look a bit shifty, don't we?
Yeah, it's kind of disconcerting. In fact, there is a program that can actually make it look like you're looking at the camera when you're not. These improvements, you know, fine. I mean, you know, if I was in the market for a new phone, I would certainly have waited. If I, you know, just before it was launched, I'd wait for the 13 and buy that rather than the 12. The 12 is discontinued. Interestingly, the 11 is still on sale because it's different enough. I mean, to discontinue the 12 but leave the 11 on the market is a tacit admission by Apple that there's not much difference between the 12 and 13.
Right.
Therefore, they can't justify leaving them both on sale.
But the big difference with the 12 was it was the first 5G handset from Apple.
Correct.
Now, lots of places, particularly in our area, still to get 5G reception. But I did notice that in the second quarter of this year, Apple shipped 25% of all 5G capable phones, which begs the question, what the hell are the other 75% of people using for 5G?
Well, there's a lot of Android phones that have 5G on them now, and you know, you still pay a premium for 5G capability.
Yeah.
But, you know, especially if you're paying for a premium smartphone. And by the way, you know, the top of the range iPhone 13 Pro Max is £1,595, I think, plus then...
is that with all the storage in it?
Yeah, that's with the 1 terabyte of storage. I mean, why they think it's appropriate to launch a phone like that with an entry-level memory of 128 gigabytes is beyond me, and particularly because one of the good features, they've upgraded the cameras, I didn't mention that, and also the video-taking capability, and they're able to store it in a video footage in a format called ProRes, although that doesn't work yet. That will be a future update later on in iOS 15. But it doesn't work with the 128 gigabyte model, and it's ridiculous to have a range of iPhones, the iPhone 13s, and only some of them can do ProRes. If the 128 gig version can't store ProRes, then don't launch a 128 gig version, because it's confusing to customers, because they buy it thinking they're going to get ProRes and they're not, and once they've bought it, there's nothing they can do about it. They can't upgrade it. All they can do is return it if they realize within 14 days typically if you buy it from Apple. So
okay, that's, I think that covers the 13 fairly. Just a quick couple of lines then on the new watch and the new iPads.
Yeah, so again, incremental improvements. The series 7 series watch is a slightly bigger screen, so you now got 41 millimeters and 45 millimeters. Slight increase in the case size, but also reduction in the bezel, the surround of the screen. So, you know, again, worthwhile. You can now just about fit a little on-screen keyboard onto your watch, which would be teeny tiny. They've redone the iPad mini, which is now called the iPad mini 6. A bigger screen for the size of device, because there are slimmer bezels. Touch ID on the power button, which is nice. I don't like relying just on Face ID. They've done away, the Lightning port has been replaced by USB-C, which is a lot more flexible in terms of what you can attach to it, like peripherals and storage and so forth. 5G capable model available. So there's that. The iPad 9 is the new entry level with an A13 chip. Again, incremental update, processor faster, not a huge difference. Software is interesting. iOS 15 is coming in 5 days' time. So that's the operating system software. One of the nice features of that will be FaceTime will no longer be limited only to Apple users. In that, although Android users and desktop users won't be able to initiate a FaceTime call, Apple users can send them a link, rather like you do with Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
You can send them a link, and when they click on the link through their browser, they can actually indulge in a FaceTime call, which is great. And I'm sure Apple wouldn't have done that had Zoom not been as successful as it was in the last year or 18 months. Also, Apple Fitness Plus is with us as well. So that, you know, if you want to have a subscription service to get you fit, they're sort of Sherlocking a lot of their own, you know, third-party customers who've built these sort of services on their devices. They've decided it's a good way. Apple is slowly trying to wean itself off the revenue it makes from the iPhone, yeah, because the iPhone is a mature product, hence the improvements are incremental, and people are putting longer gaps between buying new ones, you know, instead of every couple of years, maybe every 5 or 6 years. So now they're trying to find new ways of making money out of subscription-based services. So you've got things like Apple TV, Apple Fitness Plus, all that sort of stuff going on. And I predict that's the way they'll do it. They'll continue to make shed loads of money, but I wish they would innovate in the way that they did with the Apple Macs when they completely moved away from Intel, put their own processors in, and there was a step change in improvement. I wish they would do something innovative with their mobile devices.
Fevzi, thanks for today. Many thanks for that. Any questions of a technical nature for Fevzi, you can get in touch on his website, which is gadgetdetective.com, or via his Twitter, which is @gadgetdetective.